is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
The time is now. This is Filippo here on Life Changes with Filippo, and our guests today are doing exactly that. They are changing the world right now by, actually, from what I know about them, by being the example of everything that they're talking about and how their story started, how their first movie started, how this movie and this book started is, I think, an incredible story, and we're going to be talking about that and what we could learn from them and from the examples that they are sharing just by being. Let me share this. Before they became internationally renowned filmmakers, James and Laurentine Calhoun were ordinary people. Well, they're not ordinary people. Just nothing about them looks ordinary to me. They look like very special people. But for all intents and purposes, people like all of us, everybody. And they were looking for answers in response to a debilitating chronic fatigue syndrome diagnosis for James's father, Roy. Now, James and Laurentine began researching the disease for causes and treatments in search of an effective path for his recovery. With the belief that the visual nature of a film was the tool that would have an impact on Roy, they released Food Matters. And if that sounds familiar, it's because it became extremely popular. Since then, millions have seen the film, and countless others have transformed their lives with the understanding that, quote, you are what you eat. Indeed. Not long after Food Matters first appeared, the couple began receiving notes from viewers of Food Matters about struggles with weight and other common symptoms of a poor diet, such as bloating, acid reflux, skin irritations, food cravings, and addictions to processed foods and sugar, and decided to embark on their latest film, Hungry for Change, which is mostly what we're going to be talking about today, which is available on DVD and as a digital download simultaneous with the book. So stay tuned, because we are going to be talking to James and Laurentine Calhoun right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, it sure is. And I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeune, and we've been having a really interesting conversation here on Memorial Day, when people usually have all kinds of barbecues and eat all kinds of junk food and chips and all that stuff. And so this is a perfect conversation to be having on Memorial Day. And probably also, too, comfort food, right? Because this is a day for a lot of people mourning. So a lot of people turn to comfort food at times like this. And this is interesting, because it comes on the heels of this interview. It comes on the heels of a little girl who evidently spoke to the CEO of McDonald's, of all people, in a public forum where she said, there are things in life that aren't fair, like when your pet dies. I don't think it's fair when big companies try to trick kids into eating food. It isn't fair that so many kids my age are getting sick. Now, as interesting as that is, I actually thought the comments made to that particular post were even more interesting. Like, for example, some people said, why should we stop eating McDonald's just because some little girl thinks we should? Her parents could teach her not to eat it, or it's up to the parents to teach the kids what they can or cannot eat. We want to eat it. That's up to us. And I don't know. I think it's so hard being a parent, especially these days. I mean, you just walk down the street minding your own business, and there's McDonald's looking all fun and playhousey, and they're giving away toys. What kid's not going to try and nag the poor parent into getting them in there to buy a burger so they could get a freaking toy?
Well, you know, two things come up when you talk about that kind of marketing. The friendliness, the fun. You know, obviously, that's an attractor vehicle. But those comments, to me, were screaming addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and how powerful is that? You know,
yeah.
You think about talking to people about, you know, quitting smoking and other, you know, more common forms of addiction. But that's what their comment came from, the fear of not going to McDonald's, the challenge to that belief system.
You're
going to
take it away from us, you know. And sometimes people have to get to the bottom depths of something before they understand that, holy shit, you know, as I'm... I said, holy shit, and I threw myself off. Holy shit, I'm throwing myself off.
See what addiction does?
Well, also because, you know why? I'll tell you why. Also because this is such a big, big, big subject. I mean, it's not something that we can do in an hour. It's not something that we can do in a day. For God's sakes, I'm holding a book here called Hungry for Change, Ditch the Diets, Conquer the Cravings, and Eat Your Way to Lifelong Health. And it is over 250-something pages. And I bet we can ask our guests, but I bet for sure they haven't even scratched the surface of
well,
the subject.
That was the other thing that came up. You're talking about Memorial Day. And I thought even the difference between how I reacted to your statement now versus how I saw the world when I was a kid, things have changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
With processed foods and
yeah.
walking through the supermarkets and things of this nature and what you would eat on holidays. You were talking about this is a day for, you know, every day is a day for, except for people like us that are having this conversation, it seems, that are eating these types of foods, that are going through that type of habitry.
Yeah, habitry.
and that are not necessarily paying attention to the fuel they're putting in their engine when they're willing to spend all sorts of money and energy and time to fuel their car or their motorcycle or whatever.
Yeah, and don't get me started on it. It's your birthday. You have to have cake, or even worse, it's my birthday. You have to have my birthday cake. Okay, don't get me started. Let's go. Let's go to Hungry for Change. The movie exposes shocking secrets the diet, weight loss, and food industry don't want you to know about. And I've struggled with my weight all my life, so this show's going to be hard. Deceptive strategies designed to keep you coming back for more. Find out what's keeping you from having the body and health you deserve and how to escape the diet trap forever. It features interviews with best-selling health authors and leading medical experts, plus personal stories with those who know what it's like to be sick and overweight. Boy, do we. Again, the authors are internationally renowned filmmakers and authors and representatives of a beautiful life. James and Laurentine Calhoun, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out on Memorial Day. I know you probably had a big barbecue planned with potato chips and
alcohol,
soda pop. And so thank you for saying no to that for us.
You're welcome.
I have a feeling you probably said no to that long time ago. How did that start?
Well, it was, like you said, it was an interesting journey for us dealing with the chronic illness in our family. And I'm sure that many listeners here can understand that all of us have a close relative that is suffering from a chronic lifestyle disease. It's just a fact these days.
Mm.
And the question is, it's a really touchy topic. When you try to have that conversation over the dinner table, so to speak, and say, look, can we address some of the causes that we think might be contributing to the illness? It's always a difficult
discussion.
Which
you're eating, by the way.
Yeah, which is happening right now.
Right.
And so film became an ideal medium for us to be able to help get through to my dad, and or through to your disbelieving uncle, or through to your niece or nephew. And it's a great medium because it's between your opinions about what good food is.
But then also, how often have you sent someone a book and they haven't actually read it? And it's one of those things, it's like, oh yeah, you got to open that book. You got to sort of believe in the, what it really is about before you really get into it. So we really thought film, where you can sit down, press play, and it starts literally downloading into what you need to learn, was the best way to convince someone.
I got to see the film, and I you get to see these people who they look sexy and attractive, and I'm, you know, I'm not talking about you two, but you two too, but in the film, you know, and you look at these people, and then you realize that the big, heavy 400-pound man that you're showing, what is that guy that's talking now, right?
It's unbelievable.
And that other woman, and it's just like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that what's really interesting listening to your discussion before was that our food landscape today is completely out of step with our biology. I mean, it's changed so much in the last 100 years, and we can't quite keep up with that. And what's been added to the food, what's knowingly been manipulated in the way that our food is manufactured, is really tricking us on subtle levels into forms of addiction, which is what you were talking about earlier. Food is one of the biggest addictions there is, and especially sugar. And it's laced in just about every processed food. We have that, MSG, artificial sweeteners. These are the big ones that really get people onto this cycle of addiction and then stuck in a trap of continuing to go back and hit that button and want more.
Yeah, you know, on a normal day, you'll walk through these beautiful supermarkets that we have, and we're so grateful to have, because some countries don't have that. And you see these great bakery sections, right, with all these lovely colors and all this wonderful sugar. And you know, you think nothing of it, or you stop and or you think a lot of it and you buy it or whatever it is. And then after watching about halfway through the film, at one point you all show that same bakery after you've talked about how we're addicted to sugar and the colors and the MSG and the margarine. And you look at that and you're like, that's all that. It's all that. How come I didn't think of it like that?
It's funny when you get your perspective changed on food, and I think it's different for everybody how they get to really paying attention to their diet. And for a lot of people, it's either a chronic illness or a reoccurring weight issue, and they're like, what is going on here? I've tried diets, I've tried to work through that, but they haven't been successful. And we know that, you know, diets don't work. And in fact, in many instances, diets cause you to gain more weight. Because of the whole way that they're structured, they're based on manipulating the ratio of calories between fats, carbohydrates, and protein. You know, it's a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet. And then it's the high-carbohydrate, low-protein diet. They're constantly changing this. And what it does is it manipulates the way that our metabolism works, and we may lose weight in the short term, but it's never sustainable. And that's the approach that we talk about and the experts talk about in the book and in the film is about this concept of adding. So when you're talking about Memorial Day and all these incredible holidays, people have rich, strong attachments to comfort foods and different foods they love. And I think starting with a diet, which is typically remove this, remove that, doesn't work for people. And it's about adding in the stuff that we know is great for us.
Oh, I like that.
Focusing on that. And then
we're battling both. We're like battling that. Conscious programming, right? We're battling the mind after years of advertising, as well as the chemical addictions. I mean, so it's a big undertaking to
change
the diet.
And the pretty colors.
And the pretty colors.
The pretty colors and all that sugar. when we come back, actually, I do want to talk more about diet, but before we go on, since I did mention, and you do mention in the movie, the bakery section, it's like, how do we navigate in the supermarket, right? I want to know, like, it's like we need a GPS for going around the supermarket. So we're going to be talking about that with our guests right when we come back. Of course, they are James and Laurentine Calhoun. And if you want to check out their website, go to hungryforchange.com. TV, hungryforchange.tv. We'll be right back with them, and we're going to learn how to navigate your supermarket.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
I remember that my mother used to try and navigate past the little toy section in the store, because that's where we would, as kids, stop in front and try and play with all the toys and want her to buy them all. That seems to not be as much of a problem. I'm sure parents would rather have that problem than to have their children stop in front of every other junk food, trash food, whatever you want to call it, in every aisle. You probably can't. I don't know if there is a way to navigate through a supermarket, but our guests today have made a movie about that and so many other things called Hunger for Change. And so, James and Laurentine, I ask you, how do you navigate your supermarket?
So, Filippo, we give people a really easy option here is to navigate the supermarket by going around the perimeter of the supermarket. So we're trying to stay on the outside, and we've noticed that on the outside there's usually the fresh veggies, the colorful things, the things that are actually like they've been brought in, and they have a shelf life that's quite, you know, perishable. So we need to consume them quickly, but they're always very fresh. So if we stay around the outside, we are getting foods that we can, like James was saying, these foods, if we're not normally putting them in our shopping cart or in our pantry, if we start adding these foods and we start like really starting to use them. Like a lot of people don't really know if they, you know, what are all like kale and beetroot? How do I use that? You know, and it's like, it's about experimenting and really just sort of, you know, getting the feel for it and just playing around with it. And if we don't know what to do with it, we can always juice it, and you can start juicing these wonderful foods and jazzing it up a little bit with like an apple or a pear. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually start consuming your daily greens in a juice.
That actually tastes good.
That tastes good.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
I think also with the supermarket sort of survival is what I call it, because it's an attack on your senses when you go to a supermarket, especially for children as well. I mean, they're being advertised to on every level, on floor stickers, shelf wobblers, you name it, you know. And, you know, a really important thing when you're shopping is to become a little bit of a detective, like start to read labels and turn it around and don't always believe what it says on the front. I mean, one of the things we cover in the film was that there's a cereal called Total Pomegranate Blueberry Cereal.
Oh, right.
And there's actually no pomegranates and no blueberries in there. And yet the label would have you believe that it's made up of pomegranates and blueberries, and the photo on the front certainly shows that. So I think that becoming a little bit more of an investigator around your food and learning what some of the important ingredients are that we should tend to like steer clear of that can cause hormonal chaos in our body.
Did you know this before making the film?
We had to, that story we didn't know about, and that was the shocking for us. You know, there's so much that we're told to believe by the food industry, and you just dig and you lift the veil and you're like, hang on, what's going on here?
Was it like at every turn, like, oh my God, we're going to have to do, who knew? We have to talk about this. And
yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think what's also interesting about the supermarket landscape is, like Laurentine said, is that when people, they get motivated, they watch the film, they might watch some of the other films on Netflix or on some, you know, streaming channels, and they get the DVD and they get excited. They're like, I'm mm-hmm. going to do this. Mm-hmm. And David Wolf sort of says, you know, it's people when they go take massive raw food action, you know, they go and like buy all this stuff. They go to the farmer's markets and then they get home and they're like, what do I do with
all
this?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And that's, I think what Laurentine said is really great. It's about being adventurous and like, we make new meals every week that we've never made in our life before. And it's so exciting to go, I never thought of that, you know, like, and it's fun to become that way around food and you have a reverence for it.
And it's fun to share that. It really is. What Mark started to mention, we're battling a lot of things and, food addiction and craving and so is a big thing, you know, especially like the carb thing, at least for me. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have carbs in my day, as in pasta or bread or pasta or bread or a lot of pasta or bread, you know, there was a problem. I was not, you know, I was not living.
You know, that's true. And I think that the first thing to realize around addictions is that it's not your fault.
You know, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're not to blame here. And I think what was a really interesting parallel that we brought up in the film and the book is about how in the 60s and 70s, the cigarette companies were knowingly adding more nicotine to the cigarettes in order to make them addictive.
Mm.
And they got found out and they were not allowed to do it anymore. And that's great, but that they knew that nicotine was causing addiction, so they could manipulate the chemical structure of the cigarettes in order to make people buy them more.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense from the perspective of adding value to shareholders, right?
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing with food. Food companies now know the secrets into your brain to switch on those chemicals mm-hmm. in order to make you go, I want more of that. Mm-hmm. There is no, it's not a coincidence that you get to the bottom of that packet of crisp and you're licking your finger and getting every last
bit. Oh, yeah.
And they file most of those under natural flavors, right?
Yeah, indeed. 100% natural.
Crisps are potato chips, by the way, for those who don't know that.
Yeah.
And that's me. That was me.
Yeah, and I can...
Before watching the film.
Sure, I can empathize with you. I have been there. I'm not an angel, and none of us are. But I think that when you start to realize this and you're like, you develop this somewhat of a mistrust, I think. Mm. You feel cheated a little bit. And you want to make a decision. And I think, you know, Mark had a good point before. It's coming from a few angles. One is there's a biochemical reaction happening in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the second element is there's this subversive sort of corporate power that is knowingly doing this to their food for their interests and not particularly for the interests of your health. So developing an understanding of that really helps. That's helped me, that's for sure.
But just to add to that as well, we're just talking about pastas and breads. You know, it's like we don't really necessarily believe that all of the chemicals are added to the pastas and the breads. I think what's also happening is our body, because we've been eating so much sugary foods, we've started craving so much sugar.
Mm.
And the pastas and the breads, when you ingest them, they turn into glucose in our blood. So that is more sugar. So it's more of a sugar buildup. And so then we're going to start craving more of those foods.
Right.
So a lot of people, when they say, you know, I'm really watching my sugar intake and I always read labels and I'm always going to those processed foods and checking for the sugar, yet they still go to the pasta bars and they, you know, eat lots of pizzas. So they're really, I mean, it's still, you still have to look at what sort of carbohydrate intake you're
having. You're talking to an Italian-American, by the way. I just want you to know that.
Uh-oh.
Well, the gluten in the Italian strains of wheat is apparently 80% less than the gluten in the strains of wheat here in America.
Interesting. Interesting.
And they've hybridized the wheat so much in order to make that fluffy gluten there. So,
Wow, really? Mm. Wow. You know, I've actually temporarily, at least for how long, I don't know, but it's been several months. I've stopped eating pasta and bread altogether. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I feel differently. I look differently. And so,
you look like David Wolf. Oh my God. You guys related?
You know, I've been listening to David Wolf for years and also just recently started following Dr. Mercola's stuff. Oh, so yeah. It was great to see them both on, mm-hmm. on, and then a couple other people that I recognize. You have a great, great team. You know, I have to say, sadly, this feels so like there's an insidious plan. And I think this works. Because naturally, we don't believe that people would want to, nobody would do that to our food. Nobody would do that to our children.
I agree. It's difficult to think about that next layer. And for a lot of people, it's quite confronting when you start to uncover what's the atrocities that are being committed in these industries. But I think, you know, from another perspective, and if we put ourselves in the shoes of the manufacturers, they have an obligation to their shareholders under the capitalistic system that we've created around our culture. So in everybody's eyes, I feel that everybody thinks they're doing the right thing along every step of the way, even the pharmaceutical industry, which we spoke a lot about in our first film, Food Matters.
Yeah.
At the core of their belief, funnily enough, is alleviating human suffering. That's what we believe. We've just got a different viewpoint about how that's enacted. So we believe that food is better medicine than drugs, for instance, in a lot of cases. So I think that we need to sympathize with that, but also at the same time realize that there are some pretty heinous things happening to our food, and we need to be aware of them in order to be a conscious consumer.
I've thought a lot about this. Wow. I think there's such a disconnect between how the process started and how it's gotten to where it is. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to say now when you wake up and you look at things and say, oh, my gosh, how could all of that happen? But as you were saying, when you go down that corporate, you know, process of profitability and growing the company and scalability and hiring more people and jobs and all these other good positive rationales, each step, when you okay that, it almost gets forgotten. Mm-hmm. Because now we're looking forward and we're forgetting that, and we're certainly not saying, yeah, boy, if I add 1 + 1, I'm going to get 3. And when I add 3 + you know, that type of thing.
And it ran
and
away.
All of a sudden, here we are.
Yeah. It ran away. Yeah. From,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, you know, we got more than what we bargained for, actually, here today, because we had invited both of our guests to be in the studio with us. And without us knowing, they brought another person with them, an unborn person. I've gotten permission to be able to say that Laurentine is pregnant. And so congratulations.
Thank you so much. You thought when I walked in, you were like, damn, these guys just had a big pizza night, right?
No. Not at all. I knew right away. I felt the beautiful energy coming forth. And I bring this up because after the break, I'd like to talk about, obviously, you're an expectant mother, so the food that goes into you goes into the child. So there are a lot of mothers who don't know really how important that is, and I would love to do a shout-out to them and help them learn something from you, who are obviously very diligent about all of this and knowledgeable. And also for the mothers that have children, like, how do you, you know, when we come back, let's talk about how do you get them started on the right road so they're not craving all that sugar and whatnot. So we're talking to two lovely people, James and Laurentine Colquhoun, who are internationally renowned filmmakers, and their film, Hungry for Change. You can actually, it's out, so hungryforchange.tv, and the book is out right here. As a matter of fact, it's sitting on our table here, Hungry for Change, Ditch the Diets, Conquer the Cravings, and Eat Your Way to Lifelong Health. And there it is. If you want to meet them in person, you can go to a summer book party at Mystic Journey Bookstore, June 22nd, for those of you who are here in Los Angeles, from 1 to 4 p.m. at Mystic Journey Bookstore. So I'm sure you can find out more about that at hungryforchange.tv.com, and we'll be right back with them right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Hungry for change. I mean, it's as if, this book was made to be interviewed on our show. Hungry for change is what we're talking about. And if you want to know more about what we're talking about, go to hungryforchange.tv. It's just simply hungryforchange.tv. So with that, we're talking to James and Laurentine Colquhoun, and more specifically, who are the authors and the filmmakers of the movie and the book. So earlier, before the break, I mentioned that Laurentine is carrying a precious one.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you mind me asking, because it looks like it's ready.
It's not fully cooked yet. Okay. It's 7 months old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's probably because you're so thin.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I've never seen anybody who hasn't gained any weight anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, probably the diet.
It must be the diet.
It's what she's
eating. From behind, and I do not look pregnant. It's really hilarious.
I was looking at you, and I went to hug you, and then I'm like, whoa, what's that? Where is that bit? You know, I wouldn't expect that. So anyway, okay, too much information. But so what are you doing that others probably aren't?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of moms that are doing this, but just, you know, being careful for the things that, you know, being aware. And I think it's one of those things that you start feeling straight away when you become pregnant. You realize there's another precious life inside of you. And you become more aware of the foods that you're putting in your mouth, and you're thinking about how is that going to nourish the little one.
Mm.
And one thing that I like to do to make sure that I get a lot of nutrients is I like to put a lot of juices in my diet. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going on a juice cleanse or a juice fast mm-hmm. because, and we do have a lot of people that ask us this on our website as well, you know, should I go on a juice detox or a juice fast? No, I wouldn't suggest that during your pregnancy because all of the toxins that you, if you would have those toxins in your body, would literally go straight to the infant. Because that's, I know it's a really scary thing, isn't it? Like a lot of people are detoxing heavy metals and, you know, mercury, for example, and that's would literally go straight to the infant. You know, they say that infants these days are born with 200 chemicals in their umbilical cord. You know, that's just before they even get the breast milk. So we need to just be aware that we're just adding in a lot of natural foods and a lot of natural nutrients that we can get from nature as well rather than take all the supplements. So I'm doing that with juices, like adding lots of juices. I do a lot of green juices like with, like I was talking about before, like the apple, celery, lemon, and kale, all these sort of really, and cucumber also, really, really great high dense nutrients foods.
And you're not talking about going to the store and buying a juice because that's been pasteurized and right.
So we have to be careful. Exactly. A lot of times when we think we're doing our body a favor, we're buying like an orange juice that actually has been pasteurized. It's been heat treated and a lot of the vitamin C content is lost. So it might be much better if we go to our farmer's market or our local supermarket and we get all those veggies and we juice them ourselves in a juicer. So we love investing in juicers because we really think that that's a really fast way to consume a whole bunch of these array of colors and greens especially, and get them in your diet.
And so when you have the baby and as the baby grows up, I'm sure you've given some thought to, actually, I know you've given some thought because you're doing a movie on this, right?
Ooh, you're already alluding to this.
Oh, I'm not supposed to say? Oh,
James,
I'm sorry.
James, are we telling people about this yet?
we can now.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well, okay. Let's just go back to the. So, what are you going to do with the child to help him on the right path?
Well, it was really interesting what you were mentioning before about McDonald's and not just McDonald's, but it's just there's a array like a bomb. We're constantly being bombarded by advertising.
Sure.
And I think it really comes down to awareness and like the shows that you guys put on. You know, these are the shows where moms and kids can start to learn. Okay. We should really be aware of what we're putting in our bodies. Mm. And just because McDonald's has a cute ad campaign that's going to get me to come to their restaurant doesn't actually mean that we should be eating it. So if we inform and educate our kids what's actually in these foods, I mean, if you start looking at what they do to the cows and the meat that's produced out of that,
a whole other show.
You know, all of a sudden these kids are like, Mom, that's not right, you know, and they know that that's not right. And, you know, the injections of bovine growth hormone and all sorts of, if you start explaining that to these kids, they're like, no thanks, I'll just have my own burger, you know. Kids are smart. And if you start, like, planting food with them, for example, you have your own little veggie patch and doesn't have to be big. But just going out there and getting them to just get hands-on with the food that they eat, they're like, I want to eat more of that food.
And then when they see it in the supermarket or at the farmer's market, they'll say, oh, that's like the kale I grew or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then my mind's going a mile a minute because it's like, oh, and. So can you stay for the next 2 hours? You just gonna continue this conversation.
We love talking about this. I think we talk about this stuff in our sleep.
Yeah. So conceivably, if the child is on the right path, you wouldn't have to worry about where they go from there. But food-wise, but for those children who and adults who are already eating foods that are not as healthy as it could be and are overweight and are considering diets, what would you say to them?
That's a great question. I think that what we need to look at when we're looking at kids with eating issues is a few different things, because up until that really tender age from birth until about 6 years of age, you're very much a part of your parents' lives and you eat what they're giving you to eat. Really.
Sure.
You're 100% susceptible. And it's a really interesting concept because be being reliant on our parents for food, and if our parents might be addicted to certain foods or fast foods, we're getting that in our diet, and then having to address that is a big issue. And I think that we need to cleanse and detoxify, I think, is a brilliant place to start, because what that does is it can reset the natural cravings. It can take our unnatural cravings and reset them and give us natural cravings. And when you actually go through a cleansing process, or I see you guys here drinking some water and chlorophyll, when you start to introduce this into your body and start to cleanse and alkalize.
Was that just for today?
No, actually. No, we do it all the time.
So to cleanse, alkalize, and energize your body, when you do that, what you crave changes. If you're eating bread 5 days a week, what do you crave on the sixth day? More bread. If you're having green juices, cleansing, and chlorophyll, as you start to change literally change the environment of the cells in your body, they're the ones that do the craving. And if you're feeding it yeast and you're growing fungi and yeast infections and everything in your body, they're craving more of that sugar on your behalf. So you switch the environment and you switch the cravings.
The environment, especially as it pertains to acidity, right? This is one thing that we've never been taught. Sugars and processed foods and starches and ultimately create it. Even the fruits, right? Too many of the fruits and not getting into an alkaline system.
Exactly.
Creating the acidic environment, which cancers thrive in and so many other
Precisely.
Diseases.
As a matter of fact, I love a quote that you all have from the book. You say, "We believe that your body is worthy of good care and that one is more suitably qualified to care for it that no one excuse me okay hello we believe that your body is worthy of good care.
One and I
okay do you want to say the quote?
Yeah, so basically, we believe that your body... Here, I'll do it for you, Filippo. We believe that your body is worthy of good care and that nobody is more worthy to care for it than yourself.
You said it just right. And that was James and Lawrence. Good job.
Well, there's one thing that David Wolf says. It was in our first film, but the films sort of flow into each other and all the books. And I think that he said, the best nutritionist, the best doctor in the world is you. And it's really interesting because we're so conditioned to abdicate our responsibility for our health and our healthcare to doctors and professionals. And then when we take their advice, it's gospel, and we literally embody that belief system or whatever they've said into our body. And I think we need to really be our own case managers.
Yep.
But in saying that, I think there's also a lot of misinformation in the marketplace. And we found this out when we started. We hit the supermarkets with our camera in hand, and we interviewed a lot of people coming out of the supermarkets and asked them if they believed they were eating healthy. And a lot of these moms, they were like, we're really trying to do the best thing for our kids. And here we were looking in their supermarket cart, and it was filled with, diet foods, sodas. It was margarine, low-fat milk. They're always like, oh, yeah, we always buy low-fat, And unfortunately, these are not the types of foods that our body really craves and needs to sustain itself. So I think there's a lot of misinformation between what people believe is healthy and what actually is.
Yeah.
And that's what we present in the film.
And that's by design, right?
Some say, and I Some tend say. To agree.
I'm going to attempt another quote. Could I have a drum roll, please? Thank you. Okay. How's this one from Anthony Robbins? We all want to be healthy, but we get caught up in patterns and behaviors that keep us stuck. Hungry for change will not just inspire you, it will offer proven strategies that deliver long-term results. The book proves that anyone can achieve lasting health and vitality. Well, I did it, and you all did it by doing the book and doing the movie, and I'm glad I got to see it, and I recommend all to see it because you can learn so much. Before we go, the two of you, any parting words?
I think that the film is a powerful medium, and that when we watch it, we can be emotionally engaged, we can be, drawn to laugh or to cry, and it's really important to bring those emotions around discussions around food and take it out of this serious nutritional consultation discussions and from doctors and have fun with it, and then take what you learn and apply it and really see how that changes your life and judge by the results you get in your own life.
And also one thing we haven't touched on in the interview, and it's one of the things that I really loved when we made the film, is that the film at the end has a little of an interesting twist. And it has the twist on about understanding more about what we say to ourselves on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And that also, I mean, not that food isn't important, but that is also so important, the mind and how we talk to ourselves. There are so many people that wake up in the morning and they look at themselves in the mirror and literally, you know, beat themselves up constantly about that they're not good enough. Mm. And the mind is also, it's a powerful factor in this. And if we start changing what we say to ourselves on a day-to-day basis, we literally change how we are going to eat, because we will no longer go there anymore. Because we do not talk to ourselves like that.
Well, that's one lucky baby being born over there.
Absolutely.
Listening to a mother talk like that. Well, and I think we've all been lucky listening to this. And I was happy to have watched the film, and I look forward to the book. What can I say except go to hungryforchange.tv and either get yourself a copy or watch the film. And let's be educated. Let's know what we're putting into our mouths and what is in our foods before it even goes into our mouths. And let's be hungry for change. Ooh, I like that.
Hey,
that's a good
title for a movie. The book.
And with that, we'll be back here on Life Changes with Filippo, live from the joint in Burbank with Mark Lejeune for our producer's wrap up when we come back.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org. Or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org. Or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Well. Well. This is Filippo, and I'm sitting here with Mark, and I can't wait to hear what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes remaining during our producer's wrap, because it has been fun. I actually thought it would be harder because it's a big subject, but it has been fun also because I did mention that we have a baby in the room, going to be born in a couple, few, three, whatever months. However, I don't know, how long do my mothers have babies for in their bellies?
It depends.
Human mothers.
Somewhere around nine.
Okay. Anyway, but we also have lots of other people. And today, today we have our guest, thanks to our friend Donna Schumann from Lighthouse Public Relations, who happens to be in the studio with us as well. So we thank her for bringing these kinds of people out to the attention of the world, and certainly to our attention. So thank you, Donna. Are you hungry for change?
I am starving for change.
Good answer. And interestingly enough, I don't crave comfort foods. You know what? Because I'm comfortable now, and I'm not eating.
But, you know, like we said, we could talk for another 2-3 hours about this. And it's been so fun. It's been so comfortable because I think we're all aligned. And
yeah.
While we were talking about that, I was thinking to myself of things I see
all day long of people that aren't immersed in this discussion and how important it is.
Like the big gulps?
And the big gulps.
And the super-duper big gulps.
And the candy.
I used to do that.
Relentless candy. And I deal with this to an extent. You know, I have a young son, and he has been battling the treat addiction, you know, and we've had to manage that, and and we're getting there. But you know, he's starting to know the difference between natural sugars and sugar, and I've been able to work with him to point out his state of mind afterwards, and this has been interesting when he loses it and goes into that post, you know, sugar post, especially the really high octane fructose corn syrup, like the most potent ones.
Wow.
It's unbelievable the crash that comes.
Oh, really?
That.
You
absolutely
notice it? Wow.
Well, not only do I notice it, but in my son is very transparent with his feelings, and so we communicate very well. And he will have negative thoughts, and he'll go into emotional places, and he'll recall negative events. And lucky enough, I've been blessed through my learning to be present enough to be able to echo that back to him, and he is starting to put the two together.
Wow.
So I'm starting to see the result of him actually challenging himself and not get it. He'll start to look at two treats and he'll say, which one's, you know, you can see which one's better for me. I know I want one, but he's actually thinking about it. So that to me is a huge victory.
I have an idea. I think you should show him a puppy. And then, you know, and have him play with it and enjoy it and all that stuff. And then you say, okay, now see, now that puppy's going to have to go to the sugar farm now, because that's where sugar comes from. Yeah.
They're gonna where he was going.
They're
going
to have to butcher the puppy to make sugar. So I'm sorry. And he'll never want sugar again.
Never want sugar again.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not serious, but... But
to take extreme measures is true. But then the part of what I'm saying is because I'm looking at people walking down the street and it triggered a whole thought of laziness and how that's such a big part of our makeup, right? The fast foods, the can't deal with stress, so we're going to jam a soda bottle in the baby's mouth because they'll get the quick fix and it'll quiet them down, and suddenly now they can go pay attention to whatever it was that they needed to pay attention to.
Yeah, you know, I have an aversion to the word laziness, because on the one hand, there are people that are lazy. We don't have to label them. They probably label themselves anyway. So there are. And then they're the ones that are just ignorant, that they don't know. And then there are the ones that actually are ignorant, but they don't know what they don't know. Like Laurentine was talking about the mother who thought she was feeding her kids healthy food because she had been educated that this is healthy food.
This is funny because it's the father of aspartame that came up with that statement. There's known knowns, things we know.
Right.
There's known unknowns, things we know that we don't know, and there's unknown unknowns.
I thought
it. My hat to a certain
the father
politician.
Of aspartame. So here's a lady that was shopping and probably buying food that's more costly. Like, I remember when I was on my very first diet as a child, I asked my mother to buy all this really expensive food for me, and my mom's like, no, I'm not doing that, and that's more fattening than what we're eating at home. And she would cook every day, and she made really good food and from great natural. Like real natural ingredients.
Well, we're going to talk about natural ingredients in just a second, but along that thread, you know, this is part of that programming issue. We have been brought up to believe, we've been so distant from the fact that food grows.
Yeah.
That we can grow food.
Yeah, exactly.
That we can grow it instead of that lawn we're cutting, we can grow it right there in our own yard.
Yeah.
And we don't have to pay anybody to process it, put sugar in it, and ship it to us.
Yeah.
And wow, isn't that a novel concept? So things like this we've gotten so distant from because we've been so conditioned that things happen a certain way, and then you go to the store and you get it, and then you know, and that's what I referred to as habitry, right? We're programmed a certain way. But then it goes back to you were talking about natural flavors. That's a whole nother discussion, right?
Oh.
They brought up the idea of marketing and what is and isn't true. And maybe we can touch on that a little bit, because so many of what's considered natural isn't natural, and or has been The unnaturalness has been kind of snuck in the door under the auspice of natural flavors.
You know, let's talk about that. But I can't talk about that without getting this out of my head. That when you said how we were conditioned a certain way, I had relatives who had an orange tree in their backyard that grew oranges, but they didn't touch those. The kids wanted the oranges from the store. So they would buy them the store oranges because they wouldn't
perfect example.
They wouldn't pick the oranges off the tree because that's weird.
Well, they fell and hit the ground. We don't want that. And maybe there's a spot on them because they haven't been, you know,
anyways,
and painted.
So natural flavors are not natural. There's really nothing else to say. Look at the labels. It says natural flavors. It's not natural, really. What more do you want to say?
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. So next subject. Moving on to organic.
But unfortunately, those quote-unquote natural flavors are in a lot of foods that are labeled natural, and they're also in a lot of foods, period.
I'm going to slip one more thing in there, because even though this is a little bit of a tangent to the discussion of ingestibles, of food, the way we eat it, since we were talking about babies and that, and just talking about ingesting, one other thing that people don't realize and that I would like to put out there is the idea of fluoride in water.
Oh.
And as it pertains to babies, this is the stats now are mind-blowing because young mothers are turning to formula, and they're using tap water and formula.
Oh, wow.
And the fluoride and mercury levels are through the roof.
Wow.
On top of the fact that we shower, and the skin is another vehicle of ingestion. So
from
we're taking
the steam,
that in
from
there
the steam,
too.
More than drinking
from
it.
The steam and then the water that's penetrating the skin. So
yeah.
So be aware, people. Ask, read, learn, especially with formula. Get to fresh water in any means you can that doesn't have fluoride in it.
I'm so glad you slipped that in. That is so important. You're getting the big okay signal from our guests, and we're right. And I'm glad we've all come to this place. And one of the reasons why it's been so easy, we're all on the same page, and we're all in agreement. So let's continue to spread this message. You too can be on the same page in agreement. If you watch Hungry for Change, you'll probably feel the same way about a lot of this, and maybe some of it, and maybe you'll grow with us. Hungryforchange.tv. I want to thank our guests, James and Laurentine Colhern, and again, Donna Schumann, for bringing them in to our awareness and for helping them get their information out in the world. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're there for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.